The Haines Assembly and School Board tackle community wellness issues. And a longtime Juneau gun dealer may have to shut its doors. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Marga Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro Assembly and School Board met Wednesday night for their annual joint meeting. They talked about budgets, capital projects, and voted to establish a joint task force to address community wellness issues like alcohol and mental health. One thing several members mentioned is that they would like more than just one joint meeting a year. Assemblymember Ron Jackson suggested an assembly liaison to the school board. Mayor Jan Hill said she would also like to see the boards work together more closely throughout the year.
Granted, we couldn't solve any problems tonight, but I think that we're all going to be thinking about some of the things that were said tonight, and I look forward to us all sharing information and working together and helping our community make it through these tough times.
The meeting included presentations by Borough Manager Dave Sosa and School Superintendent Ginger Jewell. Much of Sosa's presentation was on the budget for this year. The borough is in the midst of preparing the budget, and with that must decide how much money the borough will contribute to the school. Sosa began with explaining where the borough gets its revenues for the general fund. The largest bulk of the revenue comes from property tax. All of that, and more, goes to the school.
I just want to make that point. 42% of the area-wide general fund is made up of property tax. And all of that, an additional, $100,000+ goes to the school.
Then he detailed how the borough revenue will decrease this year. State money to the borough is likely to drop. The raw fish tax is expected to be about 50% less. And revenues from property taxes will decrease because of more senior exemptions. He's planning on a 6% spending reduction in the next borough budget over the current one. With that in mind, Sosa is recommending a reduction to school funding of about $47,000 from what the borough currently contributes. Early estimates had the difference higher at about $74,000, but revised numbers from the state on Tuesday dropped the difference. After his explanation and reasoning, he turned it over to the Assembly and School Board for comment or questions. There was none. No discussion of the budget from the elected officials. After the meeting, School Board President Anne-Marie Palmieri said the school board is still early in the stages of its budget planning, so it was difficult to respond to Sosa's recommendation.
We are putting together our budget right now. We haven't had our first budget meeting. That will come on March 5th. And so I don't think that we could really respond to him and say, here are the services that would be eliminated. We can't make that pitch right now.
Sosa's budget is due by April 1st, and then it must be adopted by the Assembly no later than June 15th. The two boards also discussed capital projects, with the realization that state funding for capital projects will be sparse this budget cycle. That's okay with Sosa, who says the borough needs to set its priorities and decide how to fund capital projects without relying on grants so much.
What we look at as a CIP project is something that someone else will pay for. And if it's that important, then we need to figure out a plan to pay for it.
Sosa said that could mean paying cash or taking a loan for important projects and putting aside money to fund future ones. Finally, the meeting turned to a discussion on the new marijuana legalization law and community wellness issues. Sosa and Jewell said they are both working on personnel policies regarding pot use, but the conversation also expanded into general community wellness, a discussion about the effects of drugs, alcohol, domestic violence, and poverty on students and the community. Jewell noted that 50% of the students at Haines School qualify for free or reduced lunch, and that's an indicator of the community at large, she said. Sosa and Jewell encouraged the school board and assembly to work together with other community services like Lynn Canal Counseling to try to address these issues. School board member Lisa Schwartz made the motion to form such a task force, and it passed unanimously. Palmieri and Hill will work to form a task force and outline its priorities in the coming weeks. A longtime gun dealer in Juneau plans to sell off his inventory after getting his federal firearms license revoked. KTOO's Matt Miller has the story.
I may just shut it down. Ray Cox, owner of Rayco Sales, says he recalls receiving the revocation letter January 27th. He only had 15 days from that date or until February 11th in which he could sell firearms.
If somebody were to come along and want to buy them all, I'd probably liquidate them at my cost and get rid of it once and for all rather than try to sell them and make some money on it.
Cox says he has several options, including a review of the FFL revocation in U.S. District Court. During our recent interview, Cox showed us a letter he was writing asking for a six-month extension of his dealer's license.
Here's the addressed envelope with the reply that I'm ready to send back.
Yeah.
A temporary extension of his revoked FFL would allow him to clear out his inventory by selling the firearms locally, advertise them on internet gun broker sites, or transfer them to other local dealers for sale. Cox says he has over $100,000 of firearms in stock, but many would sell better elsewhere in the country.
.222 Remington. That's not a hunting rifle for Alaska, because if you're out in the woods and you run into a bear, it's inadequate. And very few people would buy that gun to use for a hunting gun. The only reason they'd buy it would be take it out to the range and shoot it for target shooting. Phoenix, Arizona, they'd love to have it to shoot jackrabbits with at 200 yards.
After the firearms are sold, Cox says he's not sure what he'll do. He may keep the store open selling ammunition, knives, and other sporting goods, but he's 82 years old, and he says his wife is ill. She's in a nursing home down south near family.
But if I go down there, what will I do? You know, I just, you know, here, with the store, it's 7 days a week, anywhere from 8 to 12 hours a day. And I enjoy it. I enjoy the people I meet and the products that we sell and this kind of thing. So, I just don't really know yet.
Cox says he'll have a better idea of the future of the store after the outcome of a civil trial that was scheduled to start this month, but now has been delayed indefinitely. The family of Simone Kim, the painter who was shot and killed by Jason Cody behind Juno's Fred Meyer store in August of 2006, filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Cox and Cody. Cody walked out of Rayco Sales with the murder weapon after leaving $200 on the counter. Mark Choate, representing the Kim family in that lawsuit, recently argued for sanctions against Cox and his attorney for allegedly waiting until 3 weeks before trial to produce records relating to the license revocation and firearms audits as far back as 2007. Choate said in a recent pretrial hearing that they cannot compel the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives to produce records about alleged missing firearms at Rayco Sales. Choate claims that Cox hid crucial evidence for years and actually misled the court by repeatedly selling guns in violation of federal law without a required background check. Cox's attorney, Tony Schulte, says there was no hiding of documents. In a filing submitted to the court, Schulte says Choate's arguments are nothing but white noise intended by plaintiffs to distract from the compelling evidence that Cody took the rifle without Ray Cox's knowledge or permission. In addition, Schulte says Cox did not think about passing on documentation related to firearms audits in 2012 and 2013 because the Alaska Supreme Court then was considering the constitutionality of the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act as it related to the case. Cox says during an FFL revocation hearing last November, federal authorities focused on errors in transaction record forms, such as entries designating county location when Alaska does not have counties. Cox also concedes there were records missing for firearms transfers or when someone purchases a weapon from a seller out of town. For example, a gun dealer there will transfer it to a dealer in the buyer's location before the buyer takes possession of the firearm. The second dealer then takes a small fee for documenting and handling the transfer. Cox blamed the bulk of missing transfer records on poor record-keeping by former employees. Form 4473s were filled out but misplaced by his sales clerks. He says firearms were not stolen or illegally sold, as some have alleged. Other guns were reported as missing, but they were later found in the back of the store.
The bottom line lies with me for not overseeing it closely enough. But I can't do everything, and you hire these people and you think they can do it.
Cody is no longer a defendant in the lawsuit since he did not respond to its filing while serving his 101-year prison sentence for the murder of Kim. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.